Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, November 11th, 2020.
Crypto's on a roll. Bitcoin is just about 16,000 today. It definitely hit 16,000 today. It is running right now at 15,929, up about 3.3%. Ethereum is up about 1% to 466. Dash is up 10% today to $75, up from about 60, 68, something like that. So everyone's doing great. Everyone's having a hell of a day on the crypto markets.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that handles all of your back office needs. With Bitwave, you can track DeFi investment, do token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. Up first, Ripple buys back XRP for the first time to support what they're calling a healthy market.
Yeah, this is something that Ripple has been planning on doing for a long time. I mean, many people may know Ripple is a very high market cap cryptocurrency, but there is there's sort of a, I wouldn't say it's contention or even issues around. I mean, at the end of the day, Ripple is not designed to be a Bitcoin or Ethereum killer. That is not what Ripple came out to do. Ripple came out to be a central bank or a bank-to-bank settlement platform that's high speed and is centrally controlled. There are no illusions about any of that from the way they position themselves, the way they talk about it. All that being said, every crypto out there right now wants their price to be going up. As we just said, you know, Bitcoin's at 16,000 today. Ripple has been stagnant for a very long time because they have an enormous, like, they basically have a glut of Ripple that's out there. There's way too many that have been produced. The company themselves, Ripple itself, controls like an enormous amount of it, and they dump it with alarming regularity to pay for their own operations. So this is kind of the other direction of that. You know, buying back your own stock is a very common practice. Buying back your own crypto is even not that uncommon. We see other companies sort of doing it here and there. And you certainly see a lot of DeFi projects making the markets for their crypto. So they'll be kind of like keeping a floor on the price of their crypto and buying at that price. So this is not at all surprising to me. Ripple, you know, really has to do something to attract. Like, Ripple is not, for how much money Ripple's made and how much they've raised and what they're up to. They really have. Oh gosh, I'm sorry. They really haven't made a ripple in the markets. I mean, compared to like everyone. Oh, that's my bad, guys. I take everything back. They just have, but like you compare it to the explosive growth of ETH and all this kind of. Like, Ripple's been around as long. I mean, not quite as long as ETH, but it's been around. It's one of the older currencies at this point. They don't have as robust a ecosystem. I don't think they have quite as robust a smart contract system as Ethereum. I don't know. I mean, they're obviously trying to woo back some users, but nothing happening.
All right. Well, up next, so the Australian Central Bank has partnered with Consensus to work on a CBDC project, and Lebanon said that they will launch their own digital currency in 2021.
Everyone getting into the game. I mean, China sort of led it, and the Australian news is great. Consensus, this is one of the things they're trying to do now. I mean, Consensus has a couple of projects here and there. When you think about some of their projects they've had in the past, like Balance has gone by the wayside. You know, they've had a lot of, like, Consensus has thrown a lot of stuff against the wall. Something that it seems like has really stuck well for them has been their CBDC projects. They have been partnering with a number of different companies and countries about it. I think they were involved. They're involved with some of the Jamaica CBDC project, Australia now. This is the way the world is definitely going. So, you know, it's we're just gonna see more and more and more of this. So that's great. Everyone's really excited about that. What's super exciting also is that it came out yesterday that Biden is appointing one of the, a former chair of the CFTC, Gary Gensler, to his financial policy transition team. So essentially, before they actually assign people, you know, right now Biden is in a transition period. He can't actually have someone go work at a particular agency. So what they do is they set up transition teams that will look at the current state of the agency, and then usually, and this is no hard and fast rule, but generally people from the transition will end up working at the agency. Gary Gensler is, you know, he's a commodities trader, I think, by kind of trade. He knows about commodities, but he knows about crypto, and he has not been mean to it like in the same way that other people from the space have been. He's actually taking the time to learn it. He knows, yeah, you can read interviews with him where he knows what a dApp is. I mean, this is, I would say, ultimately incredibly good news. In general, I think that the world is so weird right now. I think traditionally I would have said that, a Republican administration would have been bad for cryptocurrency because they would have tended to be more tied in with Wall Street. Wall Street certainly has a vested interest in cryptocurrencies and CBDCs not coming to fruition anymore. I'm not sure you can really make that statement, but let's pretend like that is the case. Let's pretend like Democrats will be a little bit harder on Wall Street, so they'll be a little bit more open to new ideas and perhaps technology that will reduce rent seeking within the financial services. I don't know if that's really going to happen. I think that this is, this news came out. I think this is more pipe dream than anything, but it is exciting. I mean, I don't think a single person in the Trump administration really knew what crypto was outside of accepting it for donations. So it should be good.
All right. So I wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners for tweeting at us and emailing us. We read all of it. Thank you so much for your questions and your feedback. And we wanted to address some of them. So we were asked, because Pat has mentioned that he doesn't see as much value in Ren. So Pat, give us the rundown on Ren.
Oh, well, so we had someone tweeted us and said, Pat mentioned seeing Ren on the show. He tweeted, my understanding was that it's 100,000 Ren are required to run a node. And then you get paid a percentage of that as the Ren VM is actually used. Based on increasing DeFi volume, this should show significant returns. So I made a what I would definitely call a snarky comment about Ren. And it's like super not fair. I think, all the DeFi projects, they're doing interesting stuff. Like, there are DeFi projects that are legitimately straight up scams and have very, very, questionable value within their governance tokens. I wasn't super familiar with Ren, but I what I knew of it was had not sort of led me to believe that, but or had not led me to believe it was super valuable. But I went and did my research, so I did go and look into it. Ren is overall pretty cool. I mean, there's sort of like some really interesting stuff about what they're working on. But I will couple that with saying that it is very highly vaporware. So I'm going to stand by what I said for the time being, with a caveat that I can imagine over the next, 3, 6, 12 months, perhaps, recanting and changing my tune on this a little bit. But Ren's overall, the what they've built and what they're actually going after is they are essentially trying to build they've pivoted a few times, which is another big issue here. But essentially, they're a very heavily privacy focused coin and ecosystem. One of the ways to do privacy within the cryptocurrency space are these things called zero knowledge proofs. A zero knowledge proof is, it's relatively complicated. And if you ever get a chance to go read some of the white papers around them, they're really, really interesting. What you essentially can do, it's sort of been proven, not to get super technical on it, but what you can essentially do is anything that you can build a logic gate around. So a logic gate would be like, if you have, it's an AND gate. If you ever have heard of this, it's like, if you have two wires coming in, like a zero and a one, becomes a zero, or one and a one becomes a one. I mean, that's a basic logic gate. Go and look it up. So anything that you can structure into a logic gate, which is pretty much any problem at all, you can turn into this type of crypto that you basically can evaluate it with. You can evaluate whether something satisfies a requirement or satisfies the logic gate without actually knowing what is inside the crypto itself. So it's a way of proving stuff. And this is how Zcash works. Like Zcash, I can prove that I have access to 100 Zcash, but I don't actually necessarily need to prove that exactly which Zcash it is because of this knowledge proof. So Ren's building an ecosystem around there. One of their first items that they are really building up is a shared computation model for doing virtual cross-chain, I guess you say cross-chain transactions where you are custodying, where a series of nodes is custodying coinage. So in this case, there, you know, RenBTC, the long-term vision is that you would send BTC to an address. The validator nodes would then mint based on you sending to that address would collectively, like more than one, like in a non-centralized way, all these validator nodes would work together to essentially mint the RenBTC on the Ethereum blockchain. And it's a really cool vision. The problem is that A, it's not there yet. I mean, the way that they've done RenBTC at this point is totally centralized. There's five people that work at the company that have the keys, and it is 100. Like this was a news article the other day, or like, you know, the other month, that it's entirely centralized. So that's one issue. The tech isn't there. And honestly, like I really like what they're doing. And the person who tweeted us is correct that they're potentially, when you run a node, you have to stake a certain number of coins. You will then get coins that, you know, people will then spend the Ren coin to actually use the node, and then you will get a portion of that. But the problem is until it's past the total vaporware stage, it is essentially just a speculative coin. So I stand by my statement for the time being. As soon as they actually release their V1 and it's out there and kicking, then we will reevaluate and we will get back into it. But thank you so much for tweeting at us. It's awesome. It, you know, gets me looking at stuff that I wouldn't otherwise look at, and it's a fun learning experience for everybody.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you as always for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one. Sorry we ran long.